blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient and anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious and bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sava. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
So what should we look at this morning? Penny.
So I saw this fun thing coming down the hill. So the Project Joy quotes. I don't know.
The Project Joy quotes?
Yes. So I haven't done Transform Your Life for about a year. Mm-hmm. So they're sort of new when they come up. And what my experience is that every day, whatever quote it is, I think, oh God, I love that quote. It's my favorite quote. Mm-hmm. And each day it is, actually, you know, for that moment. And I was looking, I was kind of scanning in my mind through the last couple weeks or so, and I was struck by how many of them, they feel like they've kind of fallen into a couple of camps, mm-hmm. and how many of them are like, you know, your world is shaking, and you know, you turn to God to save you, and you realize God is shaking it, or I'm not afraid of the storm because I'm learning to sail my ship, or we fall off cliffs all the time and we have to build wings all the way down, you know? So there's sort of that category of the quotes. And then there's quotes like, be kind, be kind, be kind. Mm-hmm. And the, not the quote, but the assignment about this energy that's aroused can either be fear or excitement.
Yes.
So the fun thing I saw about that was that, well, two things that for me that were really fun. One was, in conditioning's emotional lexicon, aroused energy does not go together with kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's fun. I mean, my experience of late has been of cliffs and storms and lots of energy arising to meet that.
Uh-huh.
And it's fun to put that together with kindness.
Wow. Wow.
Which conditioning, you know, in its emotional lexicon sees as passive or soft or,
uh-huh,
you
uh-huh,
know,
uh-huh.
not in the same category
uh-huh.
as aroused energy.
Uh-huh.
So that's just fun to realize how there's no contradiction at all.
Wow. Wow. So just seeing this morning, sounds like just having a reverie of the quotes of Transform Your Life and, mm-hmm. and that we're looking at in Project Joy. And just seeing how conditioning had made kindness, put it in a box that did not include arousing energy.
Yeah.
You know, that those two just seemed incongruent.
Yeah.
And just seeing this morning that not at all, that you've been in a period of time of having your little, having to steer your little boat through rough seas and, you know, the things that the quotes have been pointing to, mm-hmm. and realizing that didn't preclude that kind of a big energy, that arousing energy didn't preclude kindness right. in that experience.
And the thing I saw walking down the hill was not only does it not preclude it, but what I was looking at was, it feels like, so there's a lot of the quotes about, you know, if something gets really stirred up and we build our wings on the way down,
yeah.
or we leave the sail our ship. And then there's the quotes about, it can be the fear or excitement, or it can be kindness. And what I saw on the way down was, those are the wings.
Ah.
Do you know? Uh-huh. Not only does it not preclude kindness, but the wings we build aren't like technical skills of how we deal with problems.
Yeah.
The wings we build wow. are how to be kind in the midst
yeah.
of storms.
Yeah.
And how to experience the excitement or the energy that arises as excitement. That we have those choices.
Uh-huh.
We can experience it as excitement or fear. We can experience it aggression or kindness.
Uh-huh.
And that this, it feels to me, what felt like it came through to me, that those are the wings we build,
yeah.
is to respond out of that, out of kindness and excitement and compassion in the midst of
mm-hmm.
whatever arises, because there's going to be another storm and then another storm.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And those are the skills, those are the wings that will bear us through.
Wow. Yeah.
Felt for me, right yeah. now, felt huge.
Wow, very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And just in what you had said earlier, it just sounds like it had conditioning and made kindness something that was available only in calm times, or mm-hmm. like you said, more passive times.
Yeah.
And to realize, no, you know, kindness is actually the tool available in those tumultuous times.
Right.
The tool that's available to build those wings.
Right. Or feeling energy as excitement rather than fear. It's another tool. Yeah. That's another set of wings.
Uh-huh.
Well, can take us to anything.
Uh-huh. So feeling it, the energy is excitement, calling kindness in, all of those are tools that are applicable in any weather.
Right.
Yeah, any kind of situation that's
yeah. And also just wanted to say how fabulous it is to have those quotes every morning.
Fabulous.
On the radio show, when I can't listen to it, I can listen to the recording and just what talk about tools. Wow.
Wow, amazing.
Amazing.
It's giving the title of the book, Transform Your Life, just really bringing it to life.
It is.
Yeah.
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 Thank you. Yeah. So I've been looking at something that, as in that last conversation, the way it just dropped in was what an ally adversity is.
Mm-hmm.
And that the way I heard it talked about is that Chinese curse of may you be born in happy times.
Yeah.
And just seeing how that. But it's like when it seems like everything, when it looks like, seems like everything's mm-hmm. good, everything's fine, that there's so much room for conditioning
mm-hmm.
to take over a life
mm-hmm.
in that
mm-hmm.
and to create such hideous suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's a very, that's what I hear in the May You Be Born in Happy Times. It's a very challenging place because what's hard here?
Yeah.
Right? You
yeah.
know, so, you know, you look at a life where someone has everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the things one is supposed to have and yet is hideously unhappy.
Yeah.
And yet we would all, we all look at that life and think, I want that life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you look at the life that stuff's going on,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you like what's going on politically in the country. I don't want that,
mm-hmm.
right? And yet, if we really look at it, what's happening is that a lot of people are using it as an opportunity to wake up.
Yeah.
And being awake in that way, almost being required to be awake, is yeah. such a huge gift.
Such a huge. I mean, I think it just bears repeating your first sentence. What an ally adversity is.
Yeah.
And as you point to, it's just like so, such a contradiction
mm-hmm.
to the conditioned life that we're raised in, or, you know, conditioned to believe is mm-hmm. is the thing that we all got to go for.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's going to, you know, when we get there,
yeah.
wow, we're just going to be able to sit back and,
yeah.
and then to find out that, oh my gosh, that is the adversity.
Yeah.
To be in that kind of what looks like cush life
yeah.
with no problems.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that indeed is,
yeah.
you know, there's such an underpinning of suffering there that's mm-hmm. not, maybe mm-hmm. not as mm-hmm. obvious.
Yeah, yeah, that's it, isn't it? It's like it's, because that other quote that's been going through so much for me this week is, be kind to everyone you meet, for everyone mm-hmm. is fighting a hard battle. Mm-hmm. And when that battle is camouflaged,
mm-hmm.
at least this is my experience, and I'm seeing it really poignantly in the examples and lives of people who are close to me, that when it's camouflaged, it can make a person feel crazy. You know, because
yeah.
there's like, what's going on here? But it's at base, because at least to me, it seems like the thing we're all up against is exactly the same,
mm-hmm.
regardless of our life yeah. circumstances,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just as pernicious everywhere mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. But when it doesn't show up in an obvious way, it can be so tricky to work with
yeah.
it. Whereas if there's something that's yeah. come up, you know, like a political situation, or a death, mm-hmm. or a, you know, illness, or a something
yeah.
that kind of brings it all up for mm-hmm. us to look at mm-hmm. and actually
mm-hmm.
work with.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when it's in the background, just there, it's like, whoa,
wow,
so tricky.
Really, the most difficult place mm-hmm. when you know, it's glossed over. What may be truly that person's experience is glossed over with that veneer of needing to look that
mm-hmm.
successful way
mm-hmm.
that, you know, we're so conditioned that mm-hmm. everybody, you know, to be looked at in a way that's acceptable to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And what a, what not a gift that is,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
to not be authentic, or to not, you know, to not let people know what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we all look at that kind of glossy exterior and compare our exteriors to those exteriors,
yes.
and we feel crazy.
Yeah, that's another one I've been looking at a lot, is just, I think it's one of the bamboozles, comparison,
mm-hmm.
and how it's basically divide and conquer, right?
Wow.
That's how conditioning, that's the only way it can get us,
mm-hmm.
is to divide us.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we were to all, as we do around here, talk about what goes on with us,
mm-hmm.
it would be so obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
oh, I see. This is just what goes on
mm-hmm.
for everyone. There's nothing
yeah.
wrong,
right?
There's nothing wrong with me.
Yeah.
This is just what goes on.
Yeah.
And then in a way, that does bring the adversary to the fore.
Mm-hmm.
That does help us to see, okay, right?
Yeah.
So then when it
yeah.
when it's there, then we have a shot at actually
yeah. yes.
seeing what we're up against, making another choice,
yes.
you know, training to choose what we want to choose.
Yeah, boy, such a good point. When it's actually visible,
mm-hmm.
then we know what we're up against,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then there can be a choice
mm-hmm.
to train with that.
Mm-hmm.
But when we don't know what we're up against,
yeah.
when our attention is just on, you know, that external, and
yeah.
that, wow, I must be doing something wrong, because,
yeah.
and then it becomes that fear to say,
yeah.
what's really going on, because
right.
it just seems so incongruent to the rest, of, you
yeah.
know. And I mean, as you're talking to, I mean, that can even come up in practice.
Mm-hmm, sure.
You know?
Sure.
And that.
Yeah. Be the right then student.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've all had that experience when somebody really speaks from
yeah.
that authenticity.
Yeah.
Whoa, you can just feel it.
Yeah.
And the whole.
Yeah.
Your whole being just like.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly so. Exactly so. And I just, as you were saying that, I saw that I have a sort of a set of intentions that I've set for the year, and they're just places that, mostly process places, but I've sort of put in content to assist me with it, that I want to focus on. And I'm doing a process that, both weekly and daily, to check in around it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so helpful, because I was just listening to a recording this morning that I made, I think last week, where so there's this one sort of intention. And on the content level, there's this sense of like, how's that ever going to happen, right? But what I saw was, I am so committed and so trained to do this daily and weekly process with it,
mm-hmm.
that either it is going to happen,
mm-hmm.
or I am going to see so
yes.
much
yes.
in the process. And yeah. either way, it's a complete win.
Exactly.
And it's just such a, wow, it's such a goosebumps moment to realize, mm-hmm. once we have put that training in place for uh-huh. ourselves,
uh-huh.
that we know we can trust ourselves to do it, to check in on it daily, weekly,
yeah.
to keep our, to hold ourselves to the,
yeah.
and all that stuff. That, like with this one, I keep reading it every night. Did I do that? Mm-mm. No, actually, I didn't. Next night. Did I do that? Mm-mm. No, actually, I didn't. Next night. Did I do that? Mm-mm. No, actually, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but each day, I'm seeing more, okay,
yeah.
today let's put, how is that happening?
Yeah.
Right? So then
yeah.
reporting back. And to realize there's no way it can win. The yeah. conditioned system can
yeah.
win. No possible
right.
way.
Right. You know? No possible way it can win under that kind of scrutiny.
Yeah.
And as you say, it's, you know, it's not the end result. It's a success
exactly.
in that just keeping the commitment
yeah.
and showing up and
yeah.
and who knows,
yeah.
you know, how it's going to show
exactly.
out on the content,
exactly.
show up on the content level.
Yeah.
But, you know, just, oh my gosh,
yeah.
seeing so much in the process.
Yeah.
And
because
yeah.
the only way it can win is to talk me out of
yes.
checking in.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, because, wow, this is a waste of time, it's not working, I'm
right.
not doing it, look
right.
at what a bad person I am, you know, all those things. But if we don't go there,
mm-hmm.
if we just stay with checking in,
mm-hmm.
checking in,
mm-hmm.
checking in,
mm-hmm.
and it gets deep, it's like, whoa, whoa, wow, oh, you know, it just gets deeper and deeper, that kind of inquiry.
Uh-huh.
And then with several of them that were like that for whatever period of time, there was just this, all right, that's it, tomorrow, flag, you know, plant the flag, we're doing it.
Uh-huh.
I did it.
Uh-huh.
You know, it just gets to that place where
uh-huh.
what something happens.
Wow.
And it just will.
Yeah.
You know, it just always does.
Yeah. There's just engagement, the work of engagement. There's just this total engagement
yeah.
and commitment to steward the human.
Yeah.
And through this
yeah.
process, hey, we're going in, we're going to look at everything
yeah.
that's...
And, I thought of it in the context of this conversation is, what it does is, whatever's going on, because there's something going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
I set this intention, and it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? So that adversary is invisible to me in some way.
Yeah.
When that's, it's sort of under the radar, and
mm-hmm.
in some way
mm-hmm.
it's keeping me from doing the thing that
mm-hmm.
I've said I wanted to do. So that adversary is in the background.
Mm-hmm.
But through that process of being committed to just keep looking
yeah.
at it, it, the adversary eventually has no choice but to come up
yeah,
out
probably.
Of the, you know.
Yeah.
So then, there we have that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as you said, I mean, it, just even going through that process every day of, no, I didn't do that. No, I didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And how many days can that happen before
exactly.
what arises is, no, we're planting the
flag.
And you're gonna see
yeah.
what's going on here.
Exactly.
And which would never happen if in the beginning you just went to sleep and went, oh,
yeah.
wow.
Yeah.
This is a wash.
Right.
You know.
Right. That's such a good point, because I don't want to turn on the recorder for one more night and say,
this
do it again. You know?
Yeah.
But it's not from a self-hate place. It's more from like a almost a fun kind of, wait a minute, this is, no, you know, no, this is my life, but you're right, without that daily
mm-hmm.
kind of thing, it could so easily just slide away.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So that is the success.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Not the thing.
Yeah.
But the process.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. It's so, I just want, and just this, and it's so cool too, it's just that, it's those little steps, I'm on the path.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not making that commitment you make at the beginning of the year for this huge transformation and thinking, oh my God, you know, this is just going to somehow magically happen.
Yes.
It's taking those little bitty steps day by day.
Yeah, that is so true. I mean, I have a million examples of that, you know, just stuff with my little hermitage where, you know, there's just these things that are unfinished with it, right? And it's like, oh, that's the conditioned process of like, oh my gosh, I had this one, you know, that I've been wanting to do forever. And I got out of the conversation, completely out of the conversation and into the tiny steps. And guess what? It's done.
Wow.
Done. That thing is done. And then on to the next thing. And what's amazing is that what I experience is that when my attention is not in the conversation, but rather in the attention of the steps, it truly feels like, wow, that happened fast.
Wow.
Even though, of course, it didn't.
Wow.
But it feels like all of a sudden it happened. Because the attention is on this step, then this step, then this step. And it's never on, how do I describe it? The attention is never on the thing unless I'm in the activity.
Uh-huh.
So on usually Sunday night, I'll lay out, okay, here are the intentions, and what are the action steps around that for the week? Okay, here they are. That's it.
Wow.
I don't think about it, talk about it anymore until Monday. Ah, there's an action there. Mm-hmm. I take that action. Mm-hmm. That's it. I don't talk about it, think about it anymore in between.
No.
Tuesday, is there an action? Nope, not today. Okay, good. Wednesday, okay, I do that. So then it really ends up feeling like, wow, that suddenly happened.
Wow. Wow.
You know?
Such a difference between having a goal, a finished goal in mind.
Right.
And rushing through the step or whatever is in front of me. I've got to get through this thing because we got to have this finished thing. And, you know, what you're describing is the step is the thing.
Yeah.
And there is no further conversation about.
So fun.
Thank you.
I'm having an experience too of gratitude for circumstances that require us to be awake. And the kind of the context or the approach has been something that I saw in a peace quote recently from Sherry, which was, if we leave love, we've already lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a circumstances, and you can see the karmic conditioning attempting to pull you into the victim place. And then there's the choice to keep on choosing love, to choose love, to choose love. And I had the gift recently of being in a situation with family, which was one of the most painful situations I think I've ever been in, of getting to witness just what hatred wreaks on people's lives, on people, what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate wreaks on people. And because it was around people whose karmic conditioning shares a certain flavor with this one, it was a very powerful mirror, of course. And what it, the place that it brought me to was, I, first of all, seeing the effect that it reaps on people, seeing the choice, and being even more deeply resolved to choose love. And so, like, there's that experience, and then going into these circumstances where This is the choice. And there's this experience of this state in the body where, you know, there are all of these things going on, and the karmic conditioning around it is like this this angry victim, this like lashing out of, you did this to me, like to the outside world. And then this overwhelmed victim place that's kind of a defense of, don't expect too much of me because I'm really struggling here. And so I keep seeing that flare up, and I've just been practicing with choosing love, choosing love. What's so now? What's so now? And there was a really powerful experience of that yesterday. So after lunch, it flared up, and there was just all of this you know, all of that karmic conditioning and a very strong impulse to go to bed, which is often, like, at the moment, you know, it can be a kindness to do that, but there's also that place of practicing, what's so now, what's so now, what's so now. And as I was sitting, how, oh, the sun yesterday, oh my gosh, when the sun came out. Oh, it's a gift to get to practice what's so now with the sun just beaming on your face.
Sun after days and days of, yes,
oh,
no sun.
So I was just sitting in the sun, and what dropped in was firewood. Mm. And so it was just that, okay, I'm saying yes to that. And it's that, you know, moment by moment presence of, you know, doing more than ego says we can and less than ego says we should. So it would say, well, if you're doing the firewood, you've got to do at least, you know, 2 weeks worth, and you know, but it's okay, what's possible now, what's possible now. And as I was bringing it in, there was floor, just saw the floor, swept the floor, and it was like you know, that relief that we talk about of getting out of that ego tunnel.
Yeah.
And I've been spending so much time in that office recently writing, and it's been taking such good care of me.
Mm-hmm.
It felt so good to say thank you to it like that. And it was just and it's not like anything went away in the body. It's not like something miraculous. But it was just not being in that story of I can't. And
if I can just stop you for a minute,
I know.
Just to make sure that I'm with you. But you started just saying, you know, if we don't choose love, we've lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
And to just having that, what you describe it, that over and over, that opportunity for that choice, you know, from the seeing just that hatred playing out in the karmically conditioned way in a family situation,
mm-hmm.
to even, you know, that I gotta go to bed, you know, and to just be present and to all of it that's presenting itself, and asking in a moment by moment way, you know, life, what now?
Yeah.
What now? With that awareness of a decision to choose love, and a decision to choose life, and not lose everything, you know, and for the greater good, let's say, you know, it's just, you know, as you talk, it's just the also just the impression. This is not just a person looking to do this just for their own. You know, it's like what is best for all. This choosing love is best for the, you know, in the family situation, best for the office, best for this human. You know, what is it? And then to also not let conditioning sneak in there and make the information turn that into a hateful thing by making it, you know, cases and cases of wood that need to be transported. But you know. Just doing what is available, what can be done.
Yeah, and it really is a moment by moment choice. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been thinking about it a lot in the, you know, the Feeding the Good Wolf story,
mm-hmm.
where there's the Cherokee grandmother speaking to her grandson and saying, there are these two wolves fighting inside of me, and they're fighting inside of you and inside of everyone. There's the wolf of self-pity, blame, victim, hatred, and there's the wolf of peace, joy, love. And the grandson asks, well, which one's going to win? And she says, the one that you feed.
Yeah.
And every, you know, it's that moment by moment, I can feel, if attention wanders, it wanders into the lair of angry victim and like that. And there's just that, I'm not willing for the energy to be, to be feeding that, so it's, I choose love.
Yeah.
I choose love.
Yeah. Yeah.
I choose love. And every time, you know, there's a this beautiful assignment and guided imagery on feeding the good wolf in the back of I Don't Want To, I Don't Feel Like It. And so I put that on the recorder, and I've been listening to that a lot. Just as a support for making the choice, And it's just, I mean, I've just been marveling at this, like how, you know, for people with everything and all the privilege and with nothing wrong and no problems, it can get us, you know, egocentric conditioning self-hate can so torture us and deplete us that we feel like we have nothing to give for anything or anyone else. And it's just amazing, because in this state in the body, it feels like it's like kind of real, that I need to hang on to every little bit of energy that there is, because there's so little, just to make it through the day.
And it's for it.
Right. And just to see how it does that to us when you know, when we have everything, and can get us thinking that we need more. And it's amazing to see what's possible when we when we don't choose that. I mean,
I'm struck with so much like what was just spoken to earlier, you know, of that, the small steps.
Yes.
You know.
Right.
Yeah. Taking those, you know, it may not look heroic at the moment. If that's what we're going for, but you know, it just doesn't look like a big deal.
Exactly.
But it's a huge deal.
Because if I listen to it, it'd be like, that amount of firewood that you wrote down is pathetic. And it's like, I can't be listening to that. You know, that's just back into the feeding the wolf that I don't want to be feeding. It's like, as you say, just those moment by moment steps and choosing life.
Very beautiful.
Thank you. Scott. I'm just feeling inspired.
Inspired.
Yeah, and I was feeling inspired this morning too, and seeing that as a process, inspiration, and seeing how you can switch processes. Like just a bit ago, I could feel the energy in group, I could feel the energy drain, I could feel like I couldn't hear people. It's almost like having a bad connection. I kept missing words. I don't understand what you're talking about, and. You know, and then you can see where the attention goes, because it's kind of like, well, I guess this group's kind of a wash. And we have a lot of other things to do today, so we'll just kind of, let's think about that instead of... and then I must have been picking up enough, or awareness was picking up enough of the conversation. I heard you say something about the power of authentically sharing. And it was like, bing. it's authentically... It was like all of a sudden there was that separation, and... It was almost like I just authentically shared internally. This is what's going on. There's a wedge being driven between me and the community right now. You know, between the person and authenticity.
So just catching catching what was going on, that wedge being, you know, driven, that the good wolf and the bad wolf, you know, just the attention being on that identification. And then suddenly, in awareness, something, you know, even though it felt like there was just this total disidentification, this like withdrawal from the group, obviously there was another participation or, you know, awareness going on that caught a sentence and just was like, oh, wow, I saw it. I'm back.
Yeah, and it just reminds me, too, like, you know, for me, I don't have to try. You know, there's often this trying hard, and just sort of doing the best I could to be here.
Yeah.
I'm taken care of.
Yeah.
There was. I heard the one thing that needed to be heard. And then it kind of was coming through about kind of what was being spoken of either. I think that quote... if I remember, I don't remember the quote exactly either, but it was that part about we've lost everything if we're not in love. It's something like, all we've ever wanted is already lost if we're not in love. And it's that same kind of thing. Like, so the mind's going, oh, well, we got these things to do today. Well, what are we going to do later if we've already lost everything right in this moment?
Wow. Yeah, wow. What are we going to do later if we've already lost everything in this moment? And that loss is that attention being unconditioned.
Yeah,
and,
you know, essentially not alive.
Not here for our life.
Yeah. So then it was like dropped in about, well, like, well, what's working? But why don't we, you know, maybe that's something we could have our attention on.
Mm-hmm.
And something else that was being talked about those small, you know, oh man, there's these things and that's going to take forever, you know, but those small steps.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the transformation's happening, even if we can't, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, it's all done. How did that happen, you know? Well, I got to watch that with the ongoing teacher of my feet, my toe.
Oh.
I had another recent like flare up where it's just like the one toe just gets super swollen and really raw and tender, and to the point like I couldn't fit into my regular shoes without that raw toe hitting the end of the shoe. And you know, I get to these places, I'm like, okay, you know, I completely surrender. What do I need to do? I'll do anything, you know. And so for 3 days, so anyway, 3 days later, it was completely transformed. Like the swelling had gone down, the tenderness was almost completely gone, and I could fit back in my regular shoes. And it was sort of like, whoa, that was a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
But if I look, there was constant steps and paying attention every day, all throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just you know, getting the right shoe, sticking with that shoe.
Because
often what happens is I'll try something, and then it doesn't seem like it changes, so I'm like, well, that didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't often see is, you know, just like in, you know, in our spiritual transformation, we can't see the subtle changes that are happening, and it's the bamboozle is to give up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just stick with kind of what I'm going to do, at least for a couple of days, and I was icing it, even though I don't actually want to put ice on my toe again right now. It's not real comfortable. I don't want to do it.
Wow.
So we're going to do it. And you know what? When we go from place to place, let's really pay attention to what we're going there to do.
Yeah.
Because we really need to reduce our steps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rest is one of the guidance. So having to be really present to where am I going? What am I doing? What's happening right now?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And just even like, how am I walking? Well, let's not walk down to the office down the steep part, but take the steps. Mm-hmm. And when we take the steps, let's lead with the other foot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the thing is right here, it's just faster to have it. Every time you do that, your foot jams into the, you know. And it's like, that was going on all day, every day, and then at night taking the sock off, just like, oh, let me see, you know, like, how's it, what, okay, well, let's do a little bit more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I mean, the transformation I project of love, it's like, how is that possible in 3 days? And it's almost like, almost like normal. And then all of these, just last part, now stop. The last part is I've been doing these new foot exercises, and all of a sudden, when the soreness was gone, I could really. I project again, I'm going to have to do these foot exercises every day. I mean, this doesn't really seem like it's doing anything. Well, once the soreness was gone and I could actually put the weight on my foot like I would normally put, I could feel the strength in the toes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, huh, there's that too, where it doesn't seem like it's doing anything, but I can feel it.
Mm-hmm. Wow, just so important that what you're talking about is, again, what we talked about a lot this morning, but it's so different than wishing something were different.
Yeah.
And just allowing conditioned mind to just, you know, keep us plowing through the same activities, not, you know, not paying attention, and then like, gosh darn.
Yeah.
You know, this just isn't working. This isn't.
Yeah.
You know, and I hear you describe this morning, just again, wow, just that consistent dedication to following guidance,
mm-hmm.
and to you know, make some changes, you know, and take them step by step. We don't know where this is going to go.
Exactly.
But you know, there's a willingness there to try something different.
Yeah.
And then as you describe, you know, suddenly like 3 days later, there's a return to health.
Yeah. Exactly.
And, you know, conditioned mind would want to say, well, how'd that happen? You know,
yeah.
That's a miracle, but, yeah. You know. But, you know, looking back to see, you know, there was a person, there was this human being who just kept going through all of it, through that not wanting to, but, you know, to just to the commitment to care was greater than...
Yeah, the commitment to care was greater. And that is the, with the adversity, the ally, because in terms of a process, it did get me to hit something there. It got me to surrender all those ways that it's just such a habit to cope and move through that I don't even, I mean, I think what happens is like it's just subtly builds, and it's kind of like, well, this is kind of what happens, and I don't know why, and I'm, oh well. And then it's like, hey, we can't walk. This isn't going to, we can't do what we need to do on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. And then there's a place of, I surrender.
Yeah.
I surrender. I don't have any control over this. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why this happens in this way. But here's the guidance, and let's just follow it to our best of our ability and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And you just see, you know, that's, you see that all the time. Surrender to life, and life works. Mm-hmm. Maybe not in the way that I want it to or I think it's going to go. In fact, we don't really know, you know, what's going to happen. Yeah. And you just surrender, and we're just taken care of in all kinds of ways.
Yeah.
You know, there's the physical taking care of the foot, but... the soul is so taken care of in that process.
Yeah. It seems very crucial. I surrender. You know, that I surrender.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, it's probably never a good, you know, entity to have in charge of our life and just to like,
that's so true.
I just let that surrender and to, you know, and let's just see what's available. And wow.
Yeah,
and find out that life takes good care.
Life takes good care. And when you're just saying that back, it's like, oh, get on the recorder. Because, of course, I don't even realize, I'll be back in that process again of trying to manage or make something happen. Or, and it can feel completely reasonable.
Yeah.
Well, you know, because da-da-da-da, and before, na-na-na-na, but I don't realize I'm identified.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in that karmic, because it just feels reasonable.
Feels like me,
It feels like me.
Yeah.
So to have that recording about what's possible, what does it feel like when you're identified, what are these kind of more subtle, and what happens when we surrender, you know, how life takes care of us, and to be listening to that, training ourselves, because when I hear that, it's really that calibration work, because you can really feel the difference between I being in charge, even at a kind of more subtle level, versus surrendering to life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really using the recorder is what a powerful tool to have that. You know, available to keep us when we're in those times when it's not so clear that we may be identified, to have that recording to just like, oh, okay, I see all the signs.
Yeah, I see all the signs. Yeah. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I know that you know, this is what. This is what happened a lot. You know, these are the insights that were available. This is the experience and wow. Before the recorder, it's just, it's incomprehensible that there was life before the recorder.
I'm no kidding. I was just wondering, as you were saying that, you know, that calibration of the recorder, you know, it's like this technical tool, you know, that, oh yeah, I remember what it feels like to be here. And when I was just in group earlier, and it was like I heard, you know, sharing authentically, you know, it was like the calibration, the attention went to that and woke me up out of it. So just like how the recorder trains us, and there it is in action.
Yeah, that's such a good point.
That's so cool.
There it is to help us recalibrate.
Thank you.
June.
I've been talking a group lately about kind of a habit that kind of functions as an addiction, that it seems like this is what I've been talking about anyway, that I haven't seemed to have much ability to affect. And so talking about in group, recording about it, sort of all of the daily exercises, sort of channeling them in that direction. And as best I can tell, about 3 days ago, it just fell away.
Wow.
And I somehow, when it did, I didn't connect the falling away with the talking, with the recording.
it just was like,
So I'm sitting here today, and it's the what goes on inside is don't talk.
Yeah.
It always does. Also, so of course I am, because I can see that, okay, so I am going to talk. The other kind of a thing that happens is the girl rehearsing, leaving what's being said in group to think of what I'm going to say so that I sound intelligent and aware and clear, and never say anything. I've said this before in this group. I never say anything that goes to my head beforehand. It never turns out that way, and yet that it just triggers. So that's one of the ways that
wow.
I am pulled out of hearing what's going on in the here and now.
Wow. So it would have us rehearse what's going to be said. So it sounds, you know, you sound very aware and like you have your act together. And but you've noticed that what you actually say when you open your mouth has nothing to do with that rehearsal. So that you can see that the rehearsal is just this total setup to keep you from being present to what's actually being. Keep you from being present, we could just stop there.
Yeah, it's just another distraction, just another pull of attention. Mm-hmm.
As it had you distracted from a habit just falling away, and just, you know, and that it would have the attention focused on, oh, well, that's kind of a miracle. But, you know, to be in group and be present enough this morning to hear what everyone was saying about that and realize, oh my gosh, there were all kinds of steps taken up to that point of that falling away.
Yeah, it actually wasn't just in group this morning that I saw that. I saw it a few hours later. And let's see, there's another piece of that. Oh, and this feels like what I'm going to say now feels like the same process, sort of. We talk about kindness and love. And the belief that I hear so often is, I don't know how to be kind to this person. I don't know how to love this person. And what I'm looking at is the actual how kindness and love actually function. It just doesn't get called that. It doesn't get called loving this person to, or being kind to this person. It just, they're just not the words that are here. For these behaviors and activities. And I'm coming here. Doing the workshops. Doing the this. Always, never quitting.
Never quitting.
Leaving.
Yeah.
Coming back.
Wow. Sounds like a very similar process to the one going on in group of practicing, you know, what you're going to say, and it would have you practice all the time. I don't know how to love this human. I don't know how to be kind. When in fact, there is all this loving going on, and this great kindness, and just showing up,
and there's a there's a misdirection because I don't think of the words kind and loving aren't there in the action. Mm-hmm. And I'm not making a decision to be loving or kind.
Yeah.
It just is.
Uh-huh.
But so then I come to group and I hear people talking from that place. Then the message is, you don't do that. You don't know how to do that.
Wow.
And
wow.
I haven't seen. I've seen. I've been aware of that for a very long time, and I'm just seeing the lie that isn't true. Because, I mean, this is all such basic stuff. Because, however many times I've said and seen that meeting standards misses the point, there's still a deep belief that I don't meet standards.
Yeah.
And therefore, and just a whole, there's every kind of obvious self-hate thing follows that.
Wow. That deep belief that there's standards to meet and that you don't meet them, just seeing how that just opens the door to just every kind of self-hate.
Yeah. And it holds all of those fuzzy kind of beliefs in place.
Mm-hmm.
You're not loving, you're not kind.
Yeah.
Especially towards yourself, you don't even know what that means.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And just seeing.
And then falling for it.
And falling for it. You know? Yeah. Which we do. And then we see the lie in it. And, you know, as you say this morning, just seeing, oh my gosh, there are so many acts of love and kindness, and they're not labeled at the time. They're not, oh, wow, I'm doing something really kind for myself.
Right.
They just are.
They just are.
They just are.
Yeah. And talking about, someone brought up the bamboozled comparison, bamboozled.
Mm-hmm.
I rarely see how strongly that influences those forces and the pull toward believing this whole structure of not meeting standards, not okay, should be different, blah, blah, blah. And, well, I just saw that structure, that trying from that really wrong, hidden kind of a place is what keeps what feel like bad habits, addictions in place.
Uh-huh.
Don't get rid of them, it holds them in place. Being in kindness and love, whether it's being called at or not, being in attention, being in willingness and presence, these other things just fall away.
Yeah.
They just do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never seen it that clearly.
Wow, that's great. So just to be in that kindness, to be in love, to be in attention, it's being in the process. That process is what's called for, and those other things just drop away.
Yeah.
They're just, you know, that those comparisons, being in that constant state of comparison is what keeps the bad, quote, the habits in place, the addictions.
Yeah.
And when the attention just goes to kindness and love, there's no need for that.
When the attention stays with kindness and love.
The attention stays with kindness and love. Wow.
And an image was used in group earlier about the tunnel that egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, gets us in.
Mm-hmm.
That really struck me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so my experience that it's a tunnel. Mm-hmm. It's the old winders.
Winders, yeah.
I'm gonna go home this afternoon and draw the ego tunnel and all the things that it can trap us in there.
Yeah.
And how that looks like the world. Mm-hmm. It feels
it seems like it.
It feels like me.
Yeah.
And it feels like that thing that I'm trapped in.
Yeah.
And all the time it's just a I don't know how to finish that sentence, but it's not me.
It's not you. It seems so real.
Well, yes. It's like it's a thing you have to struggle against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where the way out of the tunnel sit down.
Yeah.
And stop being in the tunnel.
Yeah. Rather than a tunnel that you have to claw your way out of and just like, you know, just fight to just realize I just have to sit down and as you know, kindness and love. Yeah. That it's not a real tunnel. It seems so real. And so you describe drawing that so that you have and I would hope to a recording about the insight.
Yeah.
About the love and kindness and how it all falls away in that place. And that you actually have that experience many, many, many times. And you get to claim it.
Yeah. Boy, it's a slippery little devil.
Well, you know. What do we start with? Adversary, you know, and it's a good adversary, and you know, it's calling us to our toes.
Yeah.
So Cameron, we got a few minutes here.
Okay. Everybody said something that touched deeply today, as usual. And I'm finding the quote that's most meaningful for me just recently is, do the thing and have the power.
Do the thing and have the power.
And what the insight is it doesn't say, think about the thing. It doesn't say, understand the thing. It doesn't say, have an insight about the thing. Or maybe sit down and write some notes about the thing. Or maybe talk to somebody about the thing. Let's see, what else could we do besides
do the thing?
And so, yeah, that's what's coming up. And as the human being is getting more excited about the possibility of actually doing the thing, then, of course, the counter forces that we've been talking about this morning just up their ante. Mm-hmm. And I've been shocked by two incidences of absolute utter rage just coming up in me, mm-hmm. which is not something I'm real familiar with, you know. It's keep it cool. And so that I've noticed that come up and interesting, mm-hmm. you know. And the other thing is getting disappointed several times to the point that I have felt my body just get as heavy as a boulder.
Mm-hmm.
Just it's the deepest experience of depression. I've never even had that experience before. It's just like I just sink into this heaviness that makes me feel like I can't do anything.
Mm. So the commitment to do mm-hmm. is big.
It's very big.
It's strong. And
yeah.
and you're noticing a deep disappointment that and not maybe, it doesn't seem maybe related, right?
No, it's not related to that.
But just you've noticed in the aftermath of making that commitment, you've had these two experiences of the deep, deep depression or disappointment, you described it as.
Well, there's the disappointment. Mm-hmm. Actually, the rage was part of it. There's the disappointment. First, there's the anger, the rage, the disappointment, mm-hmm. the paralyzing. Mm-hmm. Depression. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it all feels more like it's an actual coming, it's actual something that I'm experiencing in my body. Mm-hmm. It's not like a conversation that's manageable. Mm-hmm. it's something that's
physical.
Happening. Mm-hmm. It's like sensations and that just take me out of my comfort range into behaving in ways that are unusual, and I'm kind of overwhelmed by the experience. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I'm doing all the exercises, and mm-hmm. I'm recording and listening, mm-hmm. and I have experienced the, how do you say this without saying I every time? I, it's like, you know, that's the problem. But the experience has been of having that experience of the fear feeling like excitement.
Uh-huh.
Going
uh-huh.
through the fear of this is that I'm going to have to acknowledge, I think, this, that I can't do it. Mm-hmm. That's what I've been led to believe so long, that I go to do the thing and I just can't. Uh-huh. And that that ultimately is the fear, I guess, that I just can't manage life, or I can't mm-hmm. do mm-hmm. what everybody else can do, because mm-hmm. I'm watching people do. Mm-hmm. I'm watching people change. I'm watching people transform mm-hmm. in lovely, beautiful ways, and I'm sitting there watching it. Uh-huh.
So you're sitting there watching this doing, mm-hmm. and there's a fear that arises that somehow you're not going to be able to do it.
Well, I actually feel like I get to the point where, okay, now we're going to do it. Uh-huh. And then I try to get up and do it, and it's not really even clear what it is that I need to do. Mm-hmm. It involves kind of a lot of things, mm-hmm. but then it just feels like, I don't know what to do it. I don't know exactly what to do, or what even is the kind of the first step, except feeling the desire to do it.
There's a strong desire to do it.
Yeah.
And seeing all the obstacles arise to doing it. Sounds like there's been many obstacles presented. And I'm just wondering if you've had an opportunity to do some mentor recordings about steps.
I've been coming up with some of those. But it seems like it takes me into the one of the things that it's it is preparation. That's one of the things that goes instead of doing is the preparation for. Mm-hmm. So I'm coming up with steps. Mm-hmm. I've made a schedule. I think part of it is I don't know. It's just conditioning that has me in a big swirl of confusion and you can't and blah blah blah. But I know that when the new year came, it felt like everything in my life just sort of got thrown up in the air, and I wasn't sure where everything was going to land back in, so I haven't really had a structure, that covers everything. And I've missed a couple of calls that were very important that I wasn't doing at all. I wasn't having those, slip ups. Mm-hmm. And I've lost a very important. I have not been able to find yet a very important set of keys, and it's shaking my sense of ability and competence and adequacy. And so that's just a lot of what's happening. And there's a lot, right now I'm kind of into the feeling all of the, I'm talking about what's not working. A lot of stuff is also working.
Right.
So I'm, you know, and so one thing I did to try to get a hold on the feeling that slipping, things are slipping, I'm not, you know, handling things well, was I made a weekly schedule, and I put on the schedule all of the things that are recurring. You know, there are certain things I have to do every day at a certain time, and some things I do on these, you know. And then I saw, when I looked at it, there were spaces on the calendar that were little white spaces. And so the next thing I'm going to do is allocate time for the things that that I need to do that aren't actually accountable. I can't keep accountability for myself doing it. I think that will be helpful. But it's also just a lot of, you know, the when I'm really doing the recording and listening, and I go over into that place of feeling very adequate and knowing this is all just crap, you know. But it's like a roller coaster. And I get the more I get up to the top of the hill, then it seems like the more conditioning comes up with, I mean, like this rage and this depression is like, wow, I didn't know you could do that, and it's just in my body, you know. So it's really working hard to get me not to get through this fear of inadequacy. I think that's the basic thing, is that if she gets through this, then she will be no longer controllable. Because she will know she's adequate. I won't have that power over her mind.
That's what we said earlier. It's a powerful adversary, you know. And and there's some, you describe a person just taking a stand. Okay, that's it. We're gonna start participating. Doing or participating rather than. Than observing and watching everything that can come up now as an obstacle to that actual participation, including a judgment about what the participation might look like.
Exactly.
And
so, because there's been a lot of stuff happening differently that is changing the person. There's a lot of transformation going on. And also, I had the experience recording and listening just recently where I actually did move right into that place of saying, taking the stand, actually taking the stand, knowing that this is crap and that I can do it and that it's time to it's time to step, you know, open the gate, step through it and go. Come on. Let's go. Put your big pants on and go through the gate.
And doing the thing.
The gate
and the power. And doing the thing and having the power.
So, I mean, it's there. And then so is the other thing. trying to undo it just as quick as it's done.
That's probably the story of every conditioned human. There's that. There's the thing and there's the thing.
So I appreciate the invitation to share authentically what's going on.
And to keep coming back and and to,
because there's a tendency to want to talk when I'm on the upper side of the roller coaster, and not it's not fun to talk about the other, but it's happening. So that's part of the problem, is to not embrace that too, would imagine.
So keep us informed. That whole thing. And it was just so much this morning. It's about
I know,
do the thing and we'll have the power, and that love is
Yeah. It seems like that's basically what everyone is doing on this path.
Yeah.
And that's why it's a small group. Because the big guns come out after you when you try to do it.
And the gifts are what the heart has always wanted.
And the gifts are what the heart has always wanted, and the gifts are what the heart already has,
yeah.
And it's not being allowed to experience.
Yeah.
That's the other good point.
Yeah.
It's not. That's a good point about the book that we're currently reading for another process, that you don't have to do anything different than you have done to get where we are.
Yeah.
We just have to keep doing it consistently.
Yeah.
And when the big guns come up, we have to just say
just
no
going.
And just keep going on the same path. And that's what I didn't get the first time I read the book, and now I'm thinking, wow, don't have to do anything different. Just keep doing it. Not giving up when it yells at you. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you all.